Welcome back, everybody, to the final episode of the Spooky Games Month at Cast in the Past. My name is Josh.
Mr. Yeager, so good of you to join us for Spooky Games Month. It's me, Salazar. Oh, you picked my game to end the month on. I am so honored.
Oh, here we go.
And I'm Tom.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be talking about Resident Evil 4 today, the most anticipated episode of our entire podcast. People have been waiting for this for years, and it is here. All thanks to Mr. Gutschall. Gutschall donated during our Extra Life campaign last year, donated $100 and immediately said, Josh, you're playing Resident Evil 4 and you're doing an episode on Resident Evil 4. And I went, son of a bitch.
But it went toward a good cause. Yeah, this is technically the last 2020 Extra Life episode, even though I kind of feel like we advertised Sunshine as the last one. But no, this is the last one. This is an episode you have been, if you had it your way, we never would have done this.
It's true.
But it's here. It's time for Resident Evil 4, or 4 Resident Evil, as it's more commonly known by its logo.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get the nitty-gritty out of the way. This is a contentious episode. This is another one of those episodes, much like the controversial Mario 64 episode, much like the controversial Ocarina of Time episode. It's an episode where Josh has a lot to say. So let's just get the nitty-gritty out of the way, and then we can get into all them hot takes. Are you okay with that, buddy?
Yeah, go ahead.
Resident Evil 4 was released on January 11th, 2005 on the Nintendo GameCube. Developed by Capcom Production Studio 4 and published by Capcom, this was directed by Shinji Mikami, the papa of the Resident Evil franchise. He directed the very first game. And I mentioned this came out on the Nintendo GameCube. This was part of the fabled Capcom 5. A exclusive deal of 5 Capcom titles that were totally going to stay on the GameCube and not go anywhere else, except 4 of the 5 did, including this game. This game was ported to the PlayStation 2, Microsoft Windows, the Nintendo Wii, iOS devices, Android devices, the Brazilian console known as Zeebo, the PlayStation 3, the Xbox 360, the PlayStation 4, the Xbox One, the Nintendo Switch, and then just this year, the Oculus Quest 2. This game is now playable in virtual reality. Whew. Okay. It's all done. The nitty-gritty's done.
This is the original Skyrim, right? The game that just won't stop coming out.
I guess in a way, but you know, when you make one of the most influential games of all time, like Skyrim was, and like this is, you need people to play it as much as possible. And Josh is already rolling his eyes. This is audio only, but is it so Josh, just let's start. Just say it. Say what you've said for years on Twitch and years. Just say it. Go ahead. What's your thesis statement at the top here?
Resident Evil 4 is the downfall of the Resident Evil franchise, right? I will say that. Shinji Mikami, he went on and stated in a press release getting ready to release this game, saying Umbrella was finished. And right there was the downfall of why Resident Evil 4 was not going to be a good game. You want it to go. You want it to be able to take over and destroy this pharmaceutical company. Yet we are put in the middle of a village trying to save the president's daughter that has nothing to do with the Umbrella Corporation.
Well, Josh, your hatred has blinded you, first and foremost, because you said some inaccurate things right there. And we'll get to them, but this is not the downfall of Resident Evil, in my opinion. I think many would agree, this is the only reason that Resident Evil has probably continued as a franchise and didn't just sputter out. Even the creators would agree on that, as we'll get into. We talk about the development. This is a game that we have varying degrees of opinions on, probably the furthest degrees of opinions on we've ever had. But let's just continue from here. So, Resident Yes. Evil had its legendary run on the PlayStation and early into the PS2. All right. But Josh, you know, despite what you're saying, it was the downfall, blah, 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 blah. Shinji Mikami and the game's producer, Hiroyuki Kobayashi, both admitted at the time in interviews to IGN, they said the series was recycling so many ideas that they knew they had to try new things. Capcom staff members were quoted as getting bored and asking to work on anything else other than a Resident Evil franchise. Capcom was tired of Resident Evil. And I know these are your babies. I know you love them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you honestly think at that point, like, what was the last game that came out before this? Because you're deeper in.
That would have been Code Veronica.
Okay. Do you honestly think that after Code Veronica, that gameplay style, like, could have held up?
No. And a prime example of that is really the Silent Hill franchise. The Silent Hill franchise tried to continue down that route. And with, like, Silent Hill 4 and so on, it just didn't feel right. Now, you did have games like Fatal Frame that came out that tried things a little differently and whatnot in that horror genre. No, and I think that they did need to figure out some sort of way to change the survival horror aspect to the game to make it more modernized.
Okay. All right. One of the more infamous stories to come out of the development is that the very first attempt at making Resident Evil 4 actually launched a completely different Capcom franchise. Josh, do you know what that was?
Mm-hmm. That was Devil May Cry.
Hell yeah. Hideki Kamiya, the director of Devil May Cry, was trying to make a Resident Evil game that took it in a, quote, cool and stylish new territory. And that project got so far that even when Capcom decided, nah, this isn't Resident Evil at all, they were still like, but you did the work. And then we ended up getting Dante and his wacky over-the-top bullet adventures.
I mean, it spawned an entire style of game, a genre of gaming. You know, you had Devil May Cry, you had Bayonetta, you had No More Heroes. You have that style, right? Suda 51 wouldn't be as popular, I don't think, right now as he would without a game like Devil May Cry.
No, absolutely. I agree with you. So that's the first of many great things that Resident Evil 4 gave us, Josh.
Oh, my God.
Now, do you know about the other initial versions of this game?
No.
Okay, the second draft. It's called the Fog version. And that was basically Leon exploring the European headquarters of Umbrella in a castle. And that had traditional zombies. It was the most similar to previous Resident Evil games. And the third version, which is called the Hookman version, this was shown off at E3 2003. Still in a castle, still classic zombies, but now we've got the third person over the shoulder. So at that point, they had determined, okay, we're going to do something new with the camera. And this also involved a kind of a concept of Leon getting infected with the disease that would make him hallucinate and stuff. So across the second and third versions, we're already seeing elements of things that would make it into Resident Evil 4. Got a castle, got Leon being infected with the disease, third person gameplay. So, you know, there we go. But all those versions were eventually scrapped due to financial reasons or just they ran out of ideas. And then Shinji Mikami, who was not going to direct, he stepped into the chair. He was like, okay, I made the first Resident Evil. I got to be responsible for this rebirth of the series. When he stepped in, the writers and producers said they wanted to get away from the scientific angle of Umbrella. They, and I know you said up top, you weren't happy about that, but their line of logic was if we're just going to keep explaining this as, oh, these are all infected by a disease, then there's no mystery. It's just go stop the disease makers, basically. So they went with this new mysterious Las Plagas origin, which in the lore of the game, it's something like from like basically the ground. The antagonists of this game have weaponized it, but Las Plagas is kind of hard to identify.
Right. So you talk about, you know, going and taking down a pharmaceutical company that's actually creating bioweapons. That sounds so far-fetched, right? But instead, we got little slugs that come out of the ground and we have to go fight a kid who just came back from Long John Silver's.
That's not that it's far-fetched. It's just that they wanted something where the angle was more mysterious. Everything about both is far-fetched.
Oh, yes, so mysterious.
Guy growed a giant eyeball.
Got the one fish, one chicken.
Guy growed a giant eyeball on his shoulders, Josh. Equally far-fetched, but... All right, so let's talk about the gameplay here, Josh. How does the gameplay of Resident Evil 4 play out?
Over the shoulder, third-person shooter, as we are all used to nowadays. But at the time, it was unlike anything that we've played. It was different. It was unique. And to say that that was bad, I can't agree with, because I think that that was revolutionary when it comes to gaming, right? And that's something we've talked about building up to this episode a lot, of how many game franchises or how many games that this influenced because of that style of gameplay. I think nowadays, playing it on the PlayStation 5, the updated versions that came out on next-gen consoles, I think the controls are very clunky. But when it comes to handling what the game was setting up to do, it would have been not so good to do the tank controls. It wouldn't have been good to do the first person mechanics to it, like they constantly keep trying to do with the Resident Evil franchise. But I think overall, at the time, it was revolutionary. And I think that that's, how do I want to put this?
He's struggling because he's saying something nice about the game, but he doesn't want to.
I know. No, I think that it was a breath of fresh air for gaming.
So you
see, I'm not going to say all negative things in this episode. So, I'm saying more positive things right now than I did during Mario 64.
Well, you are. So, as you just stated, you technically played the PlayStation 4 port on your PlayStation 5.
Yes.
Okay. Correct. I played the original GameCube version. This game has been across so many different systems that I can't imagine what it controls like on things like phones. You know, how do you play this game on a phone? Now, as I said during my stream when I was playing it on the GameCube, I feel like it's undeniable that this was developed for the GameCube controller. You know how like Smash Brothers fans, they stick to the GameCube controller because they're like, it's just the best way to play it. I felt like playing this game with the GameCube controller, I was like, this is perfect. The A button, the most used button in the game, is the big round center that your finger stays on. And then when you're using the shoulders for gunplay, you need to reload. Oh, it's the small little button right below A. So my finger just guides towards it. And there's dozens of other examples. The PlayStation 4 version, I found in my research, it's very criticized for the controls because the controller just isn't kind of intuitive towards it.
And you notice when I was playing through how when my first person, like not my first person, but when I'm trying to shoot, it's very stiff in the way that it's moving. And I kept complaining about not being able to shoot things properly because it just didn't feel right. How many times in my gameplay did I kill Ashley because the controls, I was fighting with the aiming of this game more than anything.
Now, speaking of aiming, I have heard, legend has it, that the best version of this game to play, Josh, you know, you've heard it too. What is it?
Yes, it is the Nintendo Wii version.
And just like
most complete.
Just like Ghostbusters a couple weeks ago, apparently the Wii version is the best version of a game.
Just like The Force Unleashed 2 a long time ago.
So throw out your Switches and go get your Wiis to play Resident Evil 4. Yes, but you mentioned it's not tank controls. You know, I never thought of it like this, but you know, watching a couple videos and stuff, it technically is still the tank movement. It's just kind of the third person perspective takes that. You don't think of it like that because you're moving differently. You're looking at it differently.
You have control of the camera, and that's why.
Because there's a modded PC version of this where they lock the camera in different areas, just like the old RE games, and people say it plays exactly like the old ones. Maybe that would get you to like this if you played that port.
Possibly. I wonder if it would.
What the fuck?
I might take a look into that.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to talk, though, about this because I have things to say about this game. And, you know, a lot of people know that I poo-poo on this game a lot. Listen, I don't think the way that they went with the Resident Evil franchise here is the best way to go. Okay? The original Resident Evil game, it was more of a puzzle-based game of backtracking, figuring out ways to open up doors, finding out where you need to go, planning out how you're going to manage your inventory because you have limited inventory spaces. Right? You can carry 6 items with you in the original Resident Evil games. Very similar to what we talked about with Sweet Home. In this game, you can carry a rocket launcher, a pistol, a shotgun, a grenade launcher, several grenades itself, herbs, first aid sprays, keys, and gems, eggs, anything you want, as long as you know how to play Tetris the right way. And that, I think, takes away a little bit from the puzzle aspect, from the survival horror aspect of the game. It doesn't make it seem like, oh, crap, I have limited capacity. I have limited space. Because all you need to do is just buy a bigger backpack, and then you're good to go. And that's one thing I really dislike, because when you talk about survival horror, right, I think when you're surviving, you have limited capacity of what you can do. If you're out there in the middle of the woods and you're trying to survive, you only have what you have with you, and that's it. You're not having a rocket launcher in your back pocket. You're not going to have all this extra stuff just hanging off of you. Where in the, you know, like I said, the original one, you have to plan out your attack. You have to figure out, am I going to go up against the boss? How many first aid kits do I need with me? How many rounds of ammunition am I going to need with me? But this one, you go into the end of the game, you're so fully stacked out, and you have more space open if you continue to keep buying upgrades that you don't even need to worry about any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that is when, you know, we talk about Resident Evil, and I say this isn't a Resident Evil game because it's not like the other ones, right? Yes, I know. Zombies have played their part out, right? And they've done a lot of different things throughout each of the games to separate the enemy types for those. However, Resident Evil 4 is not a survival horror game. It is an action game. It is a third-person action game with horror elements to it. But that's about it. We talk about Resident Evil and we talk about being able to go back and figure out puzzles and being able to figure out this and reading notes to find out clues to do this and that. Resident Evil 4 was so linear. You're pretty much going in a straight line. There's one time in this game that you really need to backtrack. And that's when you have to go out to the water to fight the fish monster, to come back to grab the piece to go into the castle to get Ashley. Like, it's, I don't know. Like, it's frustrating because people regard this game as one of the greatest games ever made. And are you believing that it's regarded as one of the best games ever because it was a fresh idea that hasn't been achieved before, and people are holding that way higher than the actual controls and the story of the game? Are you holding its legacy over how the game actually, what the game actually represents?
Okay. So the one thing out of everything you said that I will agree with you on is this. This is barely a survival horror game, and I will agree. This is an action horror game, and I think it would be better overall for this game's legacy if that is what it was solely embraced as. Because you're right. This does not put as much pressure on you. I didn't say this. This is actually from Scott the Waz's retrospective video on Resident Evil 4. He kind of commented that the first three Resident Evil games were, as you said, about planning and positioning. And then this game is about precision and kind of thinking outside the box, because that's how you survive combat. Your shots have to count and you have to find smart alternatives. Whereas in the other ones, it was, did I plan enough to survive? That's the distinction. And I think that's where it has to be drawn. However, what I'm going to say is, I'm going to make an analogy. Resident Evil 4 is to Resident Evil what the 1999 Mummy is to the Universal Monsters. It keeps elements of horror, but it successfully brings it into an action-adventure realm. And if Resident Evil 4 is not worthy of being a Resident Evil game, then you have just kicked Brendan Fraser out of the Universal Monsterverse. And I say nay.
You don't bring Brendan Fraser into this.
I'm gonna. Because, like, it's also for me, like, saying that, like, Halloween 3, Season of the Witch isn't a good Halloween movie because, or a good horror movie because Michael Myers isn't in it. And it's like, it's its own thing.
Well, so that's what I want to add, though, right? This would be an acceptable entry into the franchise if this was a spinoff. If they treated this as like a spinoff series, like they did with the Revelation series, because this isn't about Umbrella. It isn't about the corporate takedown, right? It's not about all that extra stuff. This is a side mission to what Jill and Chris and Claire are trying to achieve.
You said Jill, Chris, Claire. You didn't say Leon. So,
right.
Why do you not consider Leon a main character of the Resident Evil franchise?
He is a main character of the Resident Evil franchise.
Okay.
But the thing is, Resident Evil 1, they uncover the truth behind Umbrella. They see what Umbrella is going to do.
Okay.
Resident Evil 2, introducing Claire and Leon to the story. Claire's trying to find her brother. Leon's working his first day on the job. Resident Evil 3, Jill is being attacked by an Umbrella-created monster that is just out to destroy all the members of S.T.A.R.S., her and Chris, right? Resident Evil Code Veronica, Claire goes overseas and gets kidnapped to go to a prison facility that's housed from Umbrella to go and try to find her brother, which then her brother goes and tries to track her down, which is all revealed that it's Wesker behind all of that. That's why those three are tied to the Umbrella storyline so much. And right now, Leon is tied to an entire game that's a giant escort mission.
But you keep saying, like, Josh, Wesker is involved in this game. And 5. Wesker is still here. Like, but at the top, you said this has nothing to do with Umbrella. Like, Wesker is Sadler's ultimate kind of, like, handler at the end of this game. And then 5, it culminates in Chris having the final showdown with Wesker, which it's a direct continuation off of this. So Umbrella is involved in this because Wesker is still, you know, running their little schemes just overseas now. So that's where I got to disagree with you. Wesker's here. He's here, baby. He's here to stay with his sunglasses and his gymnastics.
He's here for like a fraction of a second.
But still, he's here enough.
Mike the helicopter pilot was in this game longer than Wesker was, okay?
True. But we still had him. So let's get into the story. You've already delivered the setup. Leon, he's in some undefined... He's not in Spain, I don't think, is he? He's just in some...
No. It's some, I don't know, backwoods village.
Sure. In like a European country where they speak Latin American Spanish and not Castilian Spanish. And he has been assigned to save the daughter of the president. Her name's Ashley Graham. And she was kidnapped while she was on a trip. And you get to this village. And Josh, what happens?
You are ambushed by the people of the village. And then Leon says, "Where's everyone going?" Bingo. For Resident Evil. Title screen.
So that is the prologue. You are ambushed until they're called off by church bells. And then it's like,
go play bingo.
Okay. So you have a problem with that line?
I just think it's a little too cheesy. Coming off of playing the original OG games, I know there's a lot of cheesy lines, but the things that Leon has to say in this game just comes off as such a cringe that like somebody wrote that way. Yeah. You know what I mean? It wasn't about the line delivery. It's somebody wrote that.
Yeah, but I take it as deliberately cheesy because it's consistent. If it was just a one-off thing, that then it would be like cringe. But like, you know, you were almost a Jill sandwich, in the remake, Barry's line was changed to one second later and you would have fit nicely into a sandwich. It's like they tried to fix it, but kind of made it worse. Where in here, it's just like make Leon say cheesy stuff. And I'm like, fine with it. No, thanks, bro. You'd look better without glasses. Like, they lean into the cheesiness in this game in a way where I'm like, okay, fine. At least you're consistent.
Your right hand comes off.
Exactly. I see the president has given his daughter ballistics too. Like, it's just the...
Alan, my personal favorite.
It's Salazar.
My personal favorite. Lewis! Even though his name's Luis.
Exactly.
So this guy dies by having his name butchered over him.
After this, do you want to go back to
the
my
most
place
American thing?
And work a little overtime? No thanks.
Oh my God.
Okay, so the cheese abounds, and who hates cheese? Except lactose people, right? Am I right?
Yeah, it's true. No, they don't even hate cheese. Their body just hates it.
They want it. I'm sorry to all lactose listeners. I'm sorry for your pain. But Josh, continue taking this on the tour of Resident Evil 4.
I mean, as you proceed through these villages, you stumble upon a little castle fortress thing where Ashley is being held captive by Salazar Slytherin. And his evil band of people of Scorpion Tail Man, Long John Silver's kid, and a whole bunch of other stuff. And you then proceed on another 9 hours of an escort mission of some of the most painfully, Ashley's voice is worse than Navi's voice in Ocarina of Time. Can we agree on that?
No, I would disagree. That's an insult to
Leon.
That's an insult to the Leon. Voice actors who did a lot of hard work in a recording booth. Come on.
Yeah. Hey, listen. Boom. Done. Over and done with. No, that was it.
So real quick here, because you criticize this game. You said it's too linear. You don't solve puzzles. You don't do notes. You do all of those things, and you just kind of brush them all aside. Ashley is not found in the castle. Ashley is found much earlier.
Isn't she?
No, she's found in a church that you have to solve puzzles.
Yeah. I said a little
castle fortress where Salazar Slytherin is. Like, Your disdain for
because
yeah,
he was there.
He's not in the church.
He is in the church.
Sadler is in the church.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Oh,
you said
yeah,
Salazar.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, look. I'm trying to make you just approach this fairly. That's all.
What, the guy in the Ric Flair robe?
Ooh, we can't say that. Can't mention him. Come on. No. Yes, Sadler, who is basically the leader of the cult that has caused the Las Plagas infection in this village. So they are not the T-virus mm-hmm. monsters, you know, some have called zombies in the first three games. They are just people who were infected with this virus that can slowly turn them into mind-controlled, horrible monsters. And do you remember what their plan is, Josh?
Their plan is to... it was something to hold ransom. Hold the president's daughter ransom for money. But what they were going to do is they were going to infect her with the Las Plagas and then send her back over to America to kind of let it spread across all America and destroy America too.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. You listed it backwards, but you are correct. The first plan was infect her, send her back. Haha, we have revenge on America for their kind of post 9/11 world policing stuff. Like he literally says, America thinks they can police the world. But then, as you pointed out, he was like, but then we realized we could also get a ransom. Like it's kind of brilliant. It's like we had an evil plan. But then we realize we're broke, so we also are going to hold her for ransom and still send her back with the plague. I kind of admired him. It was like, wow, dude. Knows how to operate. So you save Ashley from the church, the relentless pursuit of the Ganados, which are like what the villagers are once they're transformed, sends you to a castle, which is watched over by Salazar, a 20-year-old man in the body of a little boy who is a minion of Sadler, and... You know, you go through a gauntlet of all Salazar's tricks and traps. He separates you and Ashley at one point. You have to solve puzzles. You solve puzzles, Josh. You do solve puzzles. And you read notes, because you read notes, Josh. There is lore in this game. But here's something where I'll buddy up and agree with you. I think the castle goes on a little too long. You did mention some gameplay pacing problems in your stream. I think the castle's long because, as we said in the development, the castle was a big focal point of like the first or two of the first four drafts of this game, and they just kept it because they were like, well,
yeah. I'm wondering if that was what it was supposed to be. Like in Resident Evil 1, it was the mansion, right? And then you had the other little areas that you would go to, but you ultimately came back to the mansion. Resident Evil 2, it was the police station, right? Resident Evil 3, it was the city itself. And now this one, it seemed like it could have just been the castle and then ended up being at the facility towards the end of the game. Very similar to all the other ones, because usually the Resident Evil follows the Star Wars logic of going to three planets. You know what I mean? Three planets every movie. This was, I wonder if it was the castle, the military base, and then the facility at the end. But they added so much more fluff to this, and I'm wondering if a lot of it got cut out.
I think it still flows in three. It's village, castle, facility. You know, we go to all three. The castle is just the longest, but it also feels really, really long. And I'm agreeing with you here that like pacing wise, it's like, okay, we're in there maybe a little bit too long. So after the castle, Josh, after you defeat Salazar, what happens?
This is where you end up going to the military base, right?
Yep.
Like you're like making your trek up a mountain with people who are dressed up in like Kevlar and have machine guns and very, very unintelligent minions of Sadler, but can also be able to use Gatling guns and be able to throw grenades and all this kind of stuff. But like, the idea of what these people can and can't do is such a very thin line where it's like, no, they're just minions. They can only use standard weapons like knives and axes and stuff like that. And it's like, no, this guy has a rocket launcher at the end of the game.
I get you. I take it less as that and more just Sadler isn't willing to spread his resources that thin. So he's just like, the poor people, let them use what they have.
Also, they don't have any money, but they have an entire militia.
It's not that they don't have money. They just need more money. He said they're broke. How do you think they went broke, Josh? They built this facility. So, Josh, I forgot to ask you, you're at the facility part, but who do you meet in the castle? We forgot.
Ada.
Mm-hmm. Now, you had a big old problem in the stream when you streamed this game, you were like, Ada being there, you said it didn't make sense, and Leon's ambivalence towards her didn't make... Talk to me about this. You critiqued it very heavily.
Well, see, yeah, in Resident Evil 2, the whole storyline of Ada. Ada was a spy. You know, her boyfriend John worked for Umbrella. If you played the first game, you know the code is John, and then the password is Ada, which is cool that it's a little callback to the first game there. But she is a spy for Umbrella. She is there to get part of the G-Virus in Resident Evil 2. But she runs into Leon, and they have like a little, you know, playful banter. It's a will they, won't they type thing. Very Jim and Pam, but not at all. And when you go through it, like, you see that Ada starts to kind of care for Leon. Leon takes a bullet for her. Leon almost dies for her. And then, like, she is very thankful of him, and you can see that she starts to kind of care. And there's a moment where Ada dies, or you think she dies, in Resident Evil 2. And it's a very heartfelt moment between both of them. It's a very, like, let me go type thing. It was like the Hawkeye and Black Widow type scene in Endgame, but there was like a little bit more like feeling behind the two characters. And that's one of the best like voiced things I would say from that original trilogy, because you could hear like Leon was very upset that she passed away or she died or she fell. And she appears in here and Leon's like, oh, I knew it was you. Completely just like, oh, I didn't just see you die a couple years ago, not shocked to see her or anything like that. He's just like, oh, yeah, hey, I knew it was going to be you. And like, they just act like that everything was fine.
Josh, she didn't die in Resident Evil 2. She comes back at the end. When you're on the train.
Hold on.
You're on the train at the end and you're fighting the complete monster version of the Doctor. She appears and throws Leon the rocket launcher that allows him to kill the Doctor. So she did not
that
die.
That is only in Leon B.
Well, so what? That's not canon?
I mean, technically, Leon B would be canon, but at the end, he even goes, Ada?
Yeah.
And that was it. That was it.
Well, Ada's in confusion.
You don't know if it was her. You don't know it was her.
I think it was pretty clear. I think it was more like, Ada, what the hell? I thought you died. I was getting over you and now you're alive. And then here, when she shows up, he's pissed because he's like, oh, I thought we would like, you know, go to Red Lobster after, you know, we defeated everything. But you just...
No, they go to Long John Silver's. Well, they're going to take their little boy with
them.
They
don't get dinner, period, because she tricked him. When she shows up here, he's justifiably pissed at her deception. And I thought that worked. So I'm just like, come on, Josh, you're the RE pro here. How do you not know?
I love you, but how do you not know how this works? I just don't think he reacted the way he should have in this game when he finally sees her after so many years. That's not how I would have reacted to it. That's not how I think a lot of people would have reacted, right? Someone that you really cared about dies.
Producer Becca, she falls into lava,
Or you think she dies, mm-hmm. right? Then you have hints that maybe she came back to help you, but you're not sure. And then, 4 or 5 years later, you're out in the middle of a European village inside of a castle, and she's there. Like, I would be more confused than anything. Like, what happened? How did this, what? And then someone in the comments are going to be like, read
all of the lore. You'll understand what Ada was doing in the background and Leon was constantly chasing her or something. No. Well,
you care about Resident Evil lore. You're the RE fan of the two of us. Like, why are you making fun of them?
because that's like all like deep stuff. It's so deep. At that moment, I don't think his reaction was correct, and I don't think the reveal of Ada really meant anything at that moment. Okay. It was just like, hey, we have Ada here now. All right, now she left.
Okay, all right. I disagree, but that's fine. We'll just move on. We'll move on, because this can't be Ada cast. So, yeah, we get to the facility. The first time I played this was the first Resident Evil game I had ever played. I had played, like, snippets. But, you know, we've done this before the show. Sheltered Childhood, yada, yada, yada. Anyway, so Krauser, that's his name, right? Krauser, Kaiser, Brock Lesnar. He shows up,
yeah.
And he's like, Leon, like, I'm a ghost from your past. But can you explain this? Because
we've never heard of before.
We've never technically seen him, but in canon, Josh, what go over Krauser?
Krauser was what, a partner of his when they were in the military or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And first off, this is the first time you're hearing that Leon was even part of the military, and you're like the reveal of Krauser or whatever sauerkraut in the game.
That's
is
how. Hang on, is he actually German?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't think you should call him that if he actually is German.
Okay. But the reveal of Krauser, though, in the game, when Sadler's talking to him, it's made out to be like, oh my God, he's in it. He's behind it. And we're like, who the fuck's this guy? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what the hell this is. And then you have one of the longest and most drawn out boss fight chases. That's so tiring, so annoying. Of him in this weird, somewhat battlefield, but also part castle, but also part ruins, like an archaeological dig site. I really don't know what they were going for with this, but like, I don't really know what Krauser's part in this story really was. Rather than to just have Sadler send someone from Leon's past to go and kill him.
I think it should have been the store owner from the beginning of Resident Evil 2.
Kendo.
He should have came back. You left me in the store. And then
you gotta play the Resident Evil remake to understand his story.
I got jacked tragic. And I came back for revenge. Here's what I'll say. So years later, now kind of realizing the inconsistent story impact, I will say that Krauser would make more sense if he was just like the traditional big meathead fight in the Indiana Jones movies. You know, like if he was just a special goon that chased you and led to a big fight, totally fine. You know, so I agree with you. I don't know what they thought they were doing, but like the story couldn't be consistent. But having him as an imposing presence, I personally liked. So I get you there. And after Krauser, what's left, Josh?
The rush up to Sadler. You're going through the facility, the military facility. You're going through the factory, stuff like that. Now, this is where I want to talk about it.
Hmm.
This was the horror aspect of this game with the regenerators.
Mm-hmm.
That was the horror aspect of this entire game.
Scare the crap out of me back then. Scare the crap out of me now.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, that was the only thing. It was like hearing them, the way that they move, the way that they constantly kept regrowing back. That was great. And I really liked those characters. I really liked those things. And we got a little bit of that in Resident Evil 5 too. And that was probably one of my favorite parts of this game, was going through that facility, seeing those things. Now, I didn't really like the boss fight where you have to wait like, 3 to 5 minutes for the elevator to come up. Like, that was annoying with that like super big one that you had to keep freezing. But the whole time building up to that, though, like, that was fun. That felt more horror-esque rather than action-adventure.
I agree. Yeah, that is the only thing where the tension is not in will I survive this fight, it's just will I survive this unexplainable thing, you know? So I get you completely.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
But when you get up to the Sadler fight, I mean, Sadler turns into, of course, the end of Resident Evil, some big giant grotesque monster that's just kind of jumping around all over the place. Which, listen, those things, every game has those type of giant creatures, and they can jump so crazy. Like,
leg day, they don't skip it.
Oh my God, they don't skip it at all. You defeat Sadler at the end by, of course, spoiler alert, rocket launcher.
Ada throws you again. Yeah, you get it again.
But then you blow him up. Ada takes the sample and flies away. And then you have to go and get into a jet ski and play Jet Moto with Ashley all the way out to like do like a little reverse Crash Bandicoot level where you're trying to run away from an exploding building. And we drive off into the sunset together after Ashley tries to get in your pants and you're like, not today, sweetheart.
He's too professional.
He is too professional.
He's too professional. Yes. But you know, it's a nice formula script flip, at least, you know, where like in typical like action movies like this, you know, the girl would have, you know, fallen in love with him head over heels, and then he would have like kind of been like, hey, baby, this is my reward here. She just kind of, almost like timidly, she's like, you want a bone? And he's like, I'm good. Thank you for asking, though. And she's like, okay, no problem. You know, it's very polite. It's very like polite boning request, you know.
So that concludes the story of Resident Evil 4. Oh, there was also a cave troll in the game, too.
There are a couple cave trolls. Yes, there are. But so yeah, speaking of cave trolls, so look and design wise, these are not the zombies and monsters created by the T and G viruses of previous RE games. These are all victims of the Las Plagas virus that originated in this country and has been manipulated by Sadler and his followers. What's your take on, you know, the creations of Las Plagas versus what Umbrella has made, Josh?
I think the inconsistency of Las Plagas and what it can actually do, I think it gets lost in the narrative sometimes.
Okay, how so?
What, like I said, like, well, these people are just kind of mindless slaves to Sadler now. You know what I mean? Like, he can control all of them, and all they can do is just basic, you know, fighting and biting and throwing and stabbing and stuff like that, to the end when he can control hundreds of them with machine guns and rocket launchers and all these other, like, grenades and SWAT gear.
Well,
and
hang on, like, some of the early Ganados, like, one tries to drive a car into you. We see that they can operate machinery there. Others activate traps.
Right.
Like, they can do
so that's the thing.
Complex,
like, well,
things.
Like, but that's the thing. If Sadler controls all of them, Sadler's controlling these thousands and thousands and thousands of people. I don't know.
Apparently.
Right. But
I mean, if you started the game and you're just attacked by 1,000 people at once, it wouldn't be a video game. Joking, you know.
No, but when you talk about the T virus and the G virus, right? Those were viruses that mutated things, creatures, right? There was a reason why you fought a giant alligator, right? It's because it got the G virus and it actually grew that big, right? There's a reason that, you know, William Birkin is the bad guy in the second one, because he injected the virus into himself, and you can see what that virus in such a lethal dosage does to a person. This was just like, oh, we put a slug inside your body and now I can control you, or I'm going to be able to control you.
But it's also still and transforming people. I mean, they burst open, they turn into the squiggly wigglies.
Right. Which we didn't even talk about those. Those guys, they are pretty scary. When you're like, oh, shit. Because, like, it's so random. I know it's not going to make sense when I say this, but I think the story behind the T and G virus is a little bit more believable and realistic in the world of Resident Evil than the Las Plagas. And that's why I always had a problem with Resident Evil 4, 5, kind of 7, and 8. Where it's like 8 is like borderline, because they are incorporating the early years of Umbrella and Mother Miranda, how she worked with Spencer and how it was becoming more of a pharmaceutical thing because of that village. But I don't know. It just, I think it loses itself. It gets a little bit too fantasy now. And that kind of takes me away from when I think survival horror, I want to, something like this to be a little bit more grounded, a little bit more realistic, even though it's a BC campy movie, right? It still has to have some sort of good narrative. Now this, the narrative's all right. It's kind of all over the place a little bit, but I don't know. It's,
what do you find all over the place about the narrative?
It's just how you're getting from point A to B to C. And like, it's just the way that nothing's really explained. I think the game tries so hard to be a video game right now, and where the other one was trying to be a little bit more of a narrative driven survival horror aspect, I think this one tries to be a video game as a video game. Like, I don't know if that makes sense to you, but like, this feels more like a video game where the other ones didn't.
Can you elaborate any further on that? Like,
well, so the other ones felt like you were participating in a horror movie. This one feels like you're playing a video game.
I can kind of get what you're saying, but I don't personally see the problem in that, but I get it. I get it. Because it's very much go here, do this, go to the next place, do that. Is that what you're trying to say? Like, it's...
Yeah.
It's just, you're going here to do this, and then there's the next place.
You okay. get locked in a room, you have to kill these people before you can get out of this room. You know what I mean? Like,
sure, sure. Okay. I think this game has a good narrative. I don't think it's the strongest in history or that it's groundbreaking. It uses a pretty just simple but effective central concept to drive, you know, an effective action horror story. It's a group of pissed off European cultists who don't like how America is operating post 9/11. You know, at the time that was a little stronger, you know, it was a little bit like, oh, like this game's getting edgy because they're commenting on what the Bush administration's doing. You know, now it maybe people will look at that and go, oh, that's a little trite or that's a little tasteless, but it was an angle. So they go through with all that and it's just used to drive this survive. Like, cause you're constantly being chased. That's the thing. Like it is linear, but you're being chased from location to location. So that motivates why it just is all like in one direction. And the ultimate goal is get off the island alive. So, you know, there's that at least. I'm not saying give it an Oscar. I'm just saying give it a chance, you know.
Yeah, I think narratively, though, this is, you know, coming from the four games that we had prior to this, it is on the weaker side of narratives.
Okay. But here's something that I know you'll enjoy, Josh. Things that Tom thinks have aged poorly. See, I bet you were worried I was just going to be a stubborn guy here. But no. Playing this on the GameCube, the first time in 16 years I had ever played it, I will say a couple things. I think the item cycling system is a relic. They're trying to balance the way it was in previous Resident Evil games with the need to like store more items. But at the end of the day, it just gets really frustrating. We're like, you're in the heat of combat and it's like, pause, carefully sort through, unpause and remember where you were in the heat of the moment. You know, like this being more of an action game, I think they should have leaned into an action game kind of inventory management system. I got annoyed with how many times I had to like pause the game.
Right.
I commented on how the game does drag a bit, especially in the castle. Look wise, you know, textures and kind of models and stuff, they've aged the most. This is atypical of all the kind of post 9/11 grim, dark, realistic games of the time. It's very brown and gray. Now, again, I think
I was going to say very brown and gray.
Very brown and gray. I think that this is on the higher end of quality of that era of brown and gray. But, you know, it still is what it is. Legacy wise, that's still the strongest thing of this game is, you know, this game, what it gave us, what it gave the gaming industry.
And that's what I said at the beginning of the game, right? I believe that it's held in such a high regard because it was a fresh idea that hadn't been achieved previously. You know, that people hold that over the actual story, the controls, the look, you know what I mean? Like that's, they hold over the idea of the game rather than the actual game itself.
Sure, sure. But I don't think the other things are as weak as you feel. But I think since we can both agree on the legacy, let's just kind of end on that here. Because let's be frank here, these are a list of games that I thought of that we do not have without Resident Evil 4. Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice, The Last of Us, Arkham Asylum, Gears of War, the Uncharted games, Returnal, and even the Resident Evil 2 remake, which you hold in a lot of high regard.
Yes.
Do you have any ones that I didn't?
BioShock.
Ooh, why do you say that? That's actually interesting.
I think the traversal of that with some of the communication between you and on the comm links, I think that's a lot of that comes into play. The narrow corridors, but also being flanked sometimes where it feels like you're being overrushed. Overwhelmed, I mean. I can see that being in there. Having some multiple different branching paths in the game too. Being able to think of alternative ways that you can actually kill an enemy, you know, while maybe shooting this, you know, lantern here to light somebody on fire, or shooting your plasmids at electricity to light some, you know, to electrocute somebody, or at water.
You know, we didn't even talk about that. You can get so creative with how you kill people in Resident Evil 4. I would trick guys into walking into tripwire, or I would shoot a lantern off the ceiling and let them burst into flames. A lot of interactivity in this game.
But yeah, I mean, the other games that, you know, you bring up, I mean, it's true, right? another one that, like, anything that really was a third-person shooter. Gears of War, Spec Ops The Line. I'm trying to think of other things that you didn't mention, but, like, yeah, I mean, this was really one of the first of its kind. And, you know, it spawned off a huge amount of games that followed it. And a lot of people say that they take a lot of inspiration from this game. And you can see it. At the end of the day, I think it comes down to one question. Skip, play, complete, or master? What is it, Tom?
Oh, you want me to go first? Okay. I think the GameCube version of this is worth beating. However, I would want to play the Wii version because that's apparently the cream of the crop. So what I guess I could say is that this is a game that needs to be experienced, and in my opinion, the story needs to be finished, but I don't know if I necessarily played the best version, as a lot of my, you know, criticisms could be laid at the fact that it's just that was on the GameCube. What about you, Josh?
In 2004/2005, I would have said to beat this game.
You would have.
Back then, I would have, right? Because it was unlike a lot of things at the time. You wanted to experience something new and something fresh in the gaming industry. In 2021, playing it on modern consoles, I think it has aged poorly. I think it's not played the best. Even watching you play it on the GameCube, it was a much smoother play than it was on modern console. So the fact that you almost have to downgrade yourself to be able to somewhat enjoy this game is not a good test to this game 17 years later. I think Resident Evil 4 is an okay game. And I think it deserves a playthrough. I think it deserves a playthrough. Not a full playthrough, just like try it out. See, you know, play it for gaming history. Play it for, you know, to see where this stuff originated from. Look at games that we just recently talked about, right? Ghostbusters, BioShock, all of these things came from a game that has a lot of inspiration from this game. See where it started from. If you like it, continue it. But I can tell you right now, there's going to be a lot of parts in this game that are long and drawn out and are going to test you and push you. It's almost like an endurance to get through it at times. And it can be very frustrating and can anger you a lot, especially if you have to play through the game blindfolded multiple times. But
as you did on stream,
I would say it's okay. And you should at least try it. You should at least play it.
This is not what I expected the end of this to be. Well, before we go, Josh, here, why don't you flip that switch on the side of your neck and go back to regular Josh and just say everything you want to say about Resident Evil. Go ahead, quick, clip.
Okay. Resident Evil 1, 2, and 3 are some of the best survival horror games of all time. Resident Evil 2 Remake is one of the best video games ever made. And Resident Evil 4 is a big pile of garbage and a piece of shit, and no one should ever play it, and every copy of it should be burned.
That's the Josh we know and love. Well, if you have any strong opinions about Resident Evil 4 or the franchise as a whole, be sure to comment wherever you can. We would love to continue the conversation with you.
But until next time, this has been Josh.
And I'm Tom.
And I'm Salazar. Thank you for listening to the podcast.
And we will see you and Helicopter Mike in the future. While we boot up the Triflex capacitor, please take some time to subscribe to the show and leave us a review wherever you listen. The show is nothing without you, and any support helps.
If you want to connect with us and discuss the past, present, and future of gaming, please follow us on Twitter and Facebook.
We also have a Twitch channel where we play games for the show and for fun, so come chat with us anytime.
Thanks again for listening,
and we'll see you in the future.